following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Lord, this morning, Lord, as we've shown up on this very, very humid and hot day in the middle of a parking lot, in the middle of Huntington Beach, Lord, we believe we've shown up here for a reason. And even those that are watching online this morning as well, they've shown up for a reason. Lord, that reason is to hear from you. Lord, to hear a word from the living God. And so, Lord, I pray that I would get out of the way of that altogether. And would you pour out your spirit upon us? We believe that you will pour out your spirit, whether we're indoors in air conditioning or outdoors in humidity. Lord, we believe that you have the power to speak directly to us this morning. And so we want to be attentive, put all those other things aside, any distraction aside, and we want to hear from you. So God, would you just speak to us this morning? That's the cry of our heart. Amen. Amen. In my house, as you walk in on the right-hand side, there's a picture of, four of the most important people in my life. There's five people in the picture. I'm one of them. And the other four, right, is my wife and my three kids. And I love that picture. I love the picture. In fact, there was a brother in the Lord, this is many years ago, who said, Jeff, get your family and we'll meet at a park and I'll take some pictures. He's a photographer and I'll take some pictures. And there, you know, I'm a dude. So I'm like, I don't really want to do that. But I'm so glad that we did, because now I see this picture. And my kids at the time they were 4, 3, and my son was 1 at the time. And I look back at those little tiny faces, and it takes me back to that moment. We all say this to young couples who have kids. We all say this, right? It's going to go by what? Fast. It's going to go by fast. You know, enjoy the moment. It's going to go by fast. And in the moment as a young parent, you're like, please go by faster. Right? There's that moment of like, just want to sleep. Please let me sleep. Right? But in that moment, we're all looking back in those times with those little faces. And we're saying, man, it goes by so fast. But I love this picture because it reminds me of those days and those times. It reminds me that my kids, they're older now. They're sitting over here and they're too old, right? That they're now 13, 12, and 10. And those days just flew right by. It reminds me that I need to remember to make sure they know that I love them, to hold them and to have conversation with them. It reminds me, that picture as I walk out on my way to work reminds me that these kids are special in my life. Now you might say, well, that's a no duh, right? That you should know that as a father, you should just remember that. But here's the thing, I have a tendency to forget. I allow the what's in front of me oftentimes to go overshadow the things that are most important in my life. Are you like me? Do you have that tendency as well? That we have a tendency oftentimes to forget even those things that are most important in our lives, our spouses. Right? There's times when we forget. And I just think that we're human. That's part of the human plight in some ways, that we oftentimes forget the things that are most important to us. Now, listen, God understood this. He knew this. There's a account in the Old Testament, way, way, way back at the beginning of the Bible. There's this account where God is bringing his people, his chosen people, the people that should understand who he is. They've seen him do incredible miracles. They've heard stories of the living God, right? And you think these are the people that would understand who God is. And yet God, this is what he says to them. As you go to this new land, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, you'll recognize the text. If not, you can write it down and look at it later. Here's what it says. When you go to this new land, take this phrase with you so that you will remember. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. To which they probably would have said in that moment, of course, yes, God, you are one. There's no other God. There is no other God. And Lord, the things that you're doing and you're going to do, we love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Absolutely. But God understood something about us as people. He understood something about his chosen people. They're going to need a reminder, right? They're going to need a picture in the hallway that says, listen, Jeff, these people are important in your life. Have you kissed them today? Have you hugged them today? Have you had a conversation with them today? How are they doing? They're going to need a reminder. So here's what God does back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Here's what it says about that phrase. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Why? Because children will forget. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the wayside, on the way to work. You're going to talk about this phrase and me being the only God and how much you love me. When you lie down and when you rise up. He says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why, God? Because we love you now, right? We know you're the only God. But listen, Jeff, when you go into that new land, Israel, when you go into that new land, you're going to need reminders. God, He knew when He created us, we would need reminders about who you are and who He is. I love this reminder as we sing it as little kids. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the tells me so, right? That healthy reminder that we get, that if you grew up in the church, I know not everyone grew up in the church, but maybe if you didn't even grow up in the church, you're like, I know that song, right? I know that song. But if you grew up in the church, man, you know that song. Why? Because some Sunday school teacher somewhere said, I want to give these kids a reminder that will live with them for the rest of their life. So when they get in those moments of, God, where are you? Do you even care about me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the, where do I find that? The Bible tells me so. That I put credibility in the Bible, and the Bible tells me that Jesus loves me, that God loves me. That's a healthy reminder that has stuck with you, all of you that saying that. You knew it was Bible. It stuck with you all your life. One more reminder. Jesus even gives his guys a reminder and us a reminder. Jesus knew this was true. God knows it's true that we need a reminder, right? We know we need a reminder. Jesus telling his guys, listen to what he says. There's this really huge night. He's having a meal with his guys. In fact, it's the night before he's going to be crucified. And he sits with them at this meal. And he's knowing that he's going to go to the cross the next day. And he takes this bread. And remember what he does? He breaks it. He says, this is my body broken for you. And then he takes some wine and he pours it out. And he says, this is my blood poured out for you. And in this moment, to mark what was about ready to happen the next day, he says, you remember these words because you've sat in a communion service before. He says, I want you to take and receive these elements. And I want you to what? Remember me. Do this as often as you meet together so that you will remember this monumental thing that's going to happen tomorrow when I die on the cross. Now, he could have said, Father, do I really need to give them a reminder about me dying on the cross and what the implications are that my blood is going to be poured out and cover over all the sins of the world, the people that put their faith in me? Do I really need to remind them? Do they need a reminder? To which we would all say, yes, we absolutely need to be reminded about the gospel on a regular basis in our lives. Jesus says they're going to need a reminder. Do this as often as you receive it. Now, if you would, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, our text for this morning. And Peter's doing the same thing. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be at verse 12. Peter's going to do the same thing. He probably told these people this over and over and over and over again. He's like, I am not going to stop reminding you about who you are and who God is. In fact, he is such a great pastoral shepherd. One of the things that pastoral shepherds do with passion and with heart is remind the people how much God loves them and who they are and what their calling is and how they should live out this life. And that's exactly what this pastoral shepherd, Peter, is doing here in our text this morning. Look at verse 12. He says this, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. What do we find out here? He's talking to people who know and are established in the present truth of who Christ is. They know the gospel. And yet, Peter says, I will not be negligent to remind you. Even though I'm talking to the church, people who love Jesus, people who know the gospel, Peter says, I will not be negligent to remind you. Why? Because we all need reminders. But look what he says here, very first part of verse 12, he says, for this reason. Well, for what reason? What reason is he talking about? We have to dive back into Pastor Bill's text from last week to pick up what reason he is not going to be negligent in reminding. Look at verse 10. Same place, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason. For what reason? That you would be diligent, verse 10, even more diligent. That you would never stumble, verse 10, so that your entrance will be supplied in abundance into everlasting life. For this reason, I will not stop reminding you. What's at stake? Why do we need to be reminded? Here's why. We need to be diligent in our walking after Christ. We need to be faithful in following Christ. We need to be diligent in what we do, in our actions and our attitudes. We need to be diligent. That's what Peter's saying. I won't be negligent and remind you. Be diligent. Why? So that, look at verse 10, you will not stumble. Why? Because we have a propensity to stumble. We forget. I mean, you could sit here this morning, know the gospel truth. All of us could do that. I've sat with you. And we forget. We get in our cars and we go about our life and we forget. What do we need? We need reminders. Peter says, listen, I will not be negligent in reminding you so that you will be diligent, that you will not fall. Why? The devil, the world, and the flesh, right? There's an enemy who wants you to walk away from the living God. Maybe that's you here this morning. Who would love to pull you away from the God who loves you deeply, who wants to extend grace and mercy abounding to you. But maybe this morning, the enemy has been pulling you away. Maybe your faith has been under heavy pressure. The world, either on purpose or not, will pull you away from the Lord. And our own flesh, do we ever war against that? Absolutely. That there's desires of the flesh that we have to deny and say, listen, not on my watch. Peter knows this, right? That I need to remind them continually because they're continually living out this life in the world. The enemy, the world, the flesh. I need to continue be reminded about who I am in Christ. I can't just do it. I need the picture on the wall of my kids to remind me of the most important things in my life. I need that picture and we need that signpost. Peter says, listen, I'm going to be diligent in always reminding you. Look what he says here in verse 12. For this reason, for the reason that you need to be diligent, you need to keep walking. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Two important words, these things. And it's going to come out throughout our text. He keeps mentioning, what are these things? And actually, these things are super important because they're indicators of people who are continually walking with Christ until the very end when we reach that eternal kingdom that he's talking about. So the question we would want to know is what? What are these things, right? What are these things that he's talking about? I want to know so that I know if I'm walking this life out with Christ. These are indicators of people who are walking out this life with Christ. If you would, you're right there in the text. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Look what it says. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, here are these things. Listen. Add to your faith virtue. So you're, look, catch this. You got to see it. These aren't salvation things. They're not going to be the things that save you. What's he saying? Add to your faith, right? Your faith is already established. He's writing to people who are already established in the truth. What's he doing? He's reminding them about who they are to be, their actions and their attitude and their heart. Listen to what he says to them. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if, look at, these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you are walking this life out, exhibiting these things, he's saying two things. Number one, you're not going to stumble. We saw that in our text before. Number two, you're going to be fruitful for the Lord. These are indicators. Listen, these are indicators of people who are walking with the Lord. Let's take a look. We're not going to go deep into it, but let's walk back over those again. Virtue, moral excellence. If I look at my life, am I an indicator that I'm following Christ? If I look at my moral excellence, what's my morality look like, essentially? Self-control. Am I able to deny the flesh? Am I able to control myself, my mind, and my heart? Perseverance in times of difficulty. Does my faith weaken and do I walk away or do I persevere through the challenges of life? That's an indicator of where my walk is with Christ. Am I always running away from the Lord every time something happens? I'm going to leave you. You don't care about me. I'm going. Or do I continue to persevere through the trials and the difficulties and the challenges? And he's saying that is an indicator. Godliness. Do I exhibit the characters and the heart of God? Brotherly kindness. Do I care for the person sitting next to me in this chair or at home sitting next to me? Do I care about them? Is there brotherly love and kindness towards them? And finally, he says, do you love people? Listen, he says, these things I'm not going to stop reminding you of. Why? Because you all, Jeff, you need reminders. Because so oftentimes we forget, we get caught up in ourselves and our things and what's right in front of us. Even like my picture of my kids. The people I love most. And I look at those little faces and I think, man, I need to love them more. Look at verse 12. Here, let's just break it down and we're done with the verse 12. Come on. We're not done. I mean, we got so much time. Look at verse 12. They'll be done with verse 12. For this reason, look what it says. For this reason. So that what reason is that? So you don't stumble, so you don't fall away, that you would be fruitful for the Lord, and you don't fall short of the kingdom. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, these indicators, these things that say, yes, you're walking with the Lord. You won't fall. You're going to continue to walk this life out, that you would remain in Jesus. Moral excellence, right? Virtue, self-control, perseverance, godly. These things, he's saying, these things, I'm never going to stop reminding you. Listen, though you know and are established in the present truth, we've hit on this a brief moment, but I want to hit on this little thing where I think it's so important. Peter knew what it was like to know truth. In fact, Peter walked with truth, right? Walked with Jesus, saw all the things that Jesus did. And Peter, I think being that loving, passionate shepherd, knows why he's writing this letter. They're going to forget. The same way Peter said, I forgot. The same way I got confused and I needed more clarity. In fact, there was this moment prior to Jesus going into the cross where he says this. It's in Matthew 26, verse 31. Jesus says this to his disciples. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. In other words, meet me in Galilee. Verse 33, Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Listen to what Peter says. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Peter has to be thinking of this moment. I walked with truth, and yet in a moment of weakness, and maybe even some confusion and a whole lot of fear, I denied my Savior. I denied my Christ. And so Peter, writing from that heart, I know that they need to know this time and time and time again. They need to be reminded about who they are and who God is and the life that they're to lead. They need to know these things. They need to know the virtue and the perseverance. They need to know it because they will forget it. Just like the people did in the Old Testament in Israel. They need to be reminded, just like we need to be reminded. He goes on, verse 13. He says, yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up. He's talking about the people he's writing to. I think he's talking about us here this morning. To stir you up by reminding you. There's that word again. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Now he says, I'm going to put off my tent. What does he mean by that? That means he believes he's going to die soon. Now, whether that was a direct revelation from Jesus, or he's just going off what Jesus had told him during his ministry here on earth, which is you're going to die for me, Peter, right? Whichever that is, he knows that moment is coming where he will put off. And I love the picture of the tent. We don't invest a lot of time and energy and money into a tent. Well, unless you go over to REI, then you will. A lot of time and money, right? Those are expensive tents. I'm a Walmart tent guy, right? We don't spend a lot of time and energy on a tent because it's temporary. It's not forever. We go back to our apartment. We go back to our house. We spend time there. We don't spend a lot of time working on the tent. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying, listen, this tent, I'm about ready to put off. This was temporary. In fact, all the way back in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about us all being aliens or sojourners, or we're just here for a little bit of time. So make this time impactful is what he's saying. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to put off this tent. And until I do, until this tent is gone and I'm going home to be with the Lord, I'm going to keep what? Reminding you and reminding you with passion because I love you. And I want to see you in eternity. I want to see you in the kingdom of God. I want to see you with my Lord and Savior, Jesus. So I'm not going to stop reminding you to keep walking, keep persevering, get rid of those things in your life that cause you to stumble away and fall. Bear fruit for Jesus. Bear fruit for his kingdom. He's saying, listen, I'm about ready to take this up. In fact, look what he says here in verse 13. He says, as long as I'm in this tent, it's to stir you up, right? In the morning, occasionally, I'll have juice in the morning. Do you have juice? Are you juice people in the morning? And I'll go to the refrigerator and I'll pull this out. And inevitably, at the bottom of this glass jar, if it's sat there long enough, you know what's at the bottom? Sludge, right? Whatever. Pulp, stuff, right? It's sitting at the bottom, dormant. And I would just say, listen, he's writing to people who know the truth. It says that you know the truth. You know the gospel. I'm writing to you, you know the gospel. But listen, you all need reminders. We all need reminders because at times we'll just sink to the bottom. Our faith, our actions, our heart will become stagnant. We'll just sit at the bottom. And you can drink the juice at the top, right? It's a little watery. But what happens if you stir it up? If you mix it up, you get so much more flavor and taste, and you're back in the mix again. And I know that some of you this morning, you just need a little stirring up. Some of you need a big stirring up, right? But we've all felt it before, where we just kind of feel like, well, I know the gospel. I know the truth. But quite frankly, if I'm honest, my faith has become kind of stagnant, and my actions are kind of dormant. I'm not doing a whole lot of things. I'm not connecting the way I was connecting before. I'm not in the word like I was before. I'm not having my devos like I was. And we just become kind of fall to the bottom of the jar. And we just become stagnant. And that's what Peter's saying. He's like, until I die, I'm going to keep reminding you and stirring you up so that you will become back into the mix again, that you will live vibrant lives and you will not stumble. I think that's the same thing he would say to us here this morning. Sometimes we just need to be stirred up. We need to be reminded about who we are and the path that we are to take and be diligent in walking it out. Listen, some of the things he was using to stir them up, he's saying, listen, these things, listen, look at your life of moral excellence. Look at self-control. Look at perseverance. These are indicators that you need to be stirred up. That there are parts of your life that you would say, listen, I need to go back to that again. And that's the stirring up that he's talking about, the Spirit at move in your life. Why? We have a tendency to wander. We have a tendency to prioritize ourselves, our plans, our pathways. I have a tendency to not stop. I feel like I just like to run. I just want to run, go. And that's why I need that picture of my family. As I walk out, I need to stop and just look at their faces and their little cute little smiles. And I need to be like, I need to stop today. I need to stop and remind myself of who I am as a father. And there's times when God will use this to say, listen, Jeff, just stop. Take inventory of your life. Look at those areas that you need to be stirred up in. I believe that's what Peter's saying. I'm not going to stop stirring you up. And that's what any good pastor or shepherd will do. He'll continue to stir up the people. Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works. Stir it up. Teach. Listen, this is what's happening right now as a matter of fact, right? This is practical, right? You've come to show up in a parking lot. You came to church, and in the church, we preach the Bible. We preach the Word of God, the living, active Word of God. And the Spirit, we believe, moves. And when the Word is taught, the Spirit is moving, and it is stirring you up. He is stirring you up. Why? He's moving you. He's encouraging. He's reminding you. Maybe even sometimes he's correcting you. That's why we do what we do. That's why we come together. We gather. We study the Word. Powerful. That here's the thing. I truly believe this, that when the Word of God is taught, he's active amongst his people, talking and speaking and directing your hearts, even this morning. That's what Peter's saying. Listen, I want to stir you up. Listen, we serve each other and we serve with each other. Don't forsake the assembly of the saints. Sometimes people are like, why do we go to church? Right? Some people I know. Anyways, why do we go and right? And we have these conversations where we say, listen, it's important. Here's why. Word of God being taught, Spirit moving. But listen, the people you're sitting around and by you, you're serving with them. And sometimes you're serving them. You're stirring them up, right? There's times when we have correction, where we get a loving email that says, listen, have you thought about, and maybe you've stepped out of bounds here, or we have a face-to-face conversation with a brother or sister in the Lord, and they correct us. That's stirring up. That's edifying. That's building up. That's why we meet together. That's why the church is important, that we wouldn't lose sight of that. We need to be reminded on a continual basis. I could have heard somebody say, Peter, okay, we get it, right? We got it. You've told us 100 times, and here you are. You're reminding us again. And I've heard that here before. There's times where it's like, I've heard that passage 100 times, right? They're always talking about sin. They're always talking about grace. It seems like every week we talk about sin, or we talk about grace, and we talk about repentance, and we talk about these things. I know these things already. Why do we keep going back to those same principles? Here's why. We need to be reminded each and every time we hear the Word of God taught, whether we've heard it 100 times or maybe we just heard it fresh for the first time, we need to be reminded. Super important. It's like a successful basketball team. Well, I don't know. Let's go with the Lakers, right? Let's talk about a successful basketball team. Let's go with the Lakers, even though maybe some of you don't like them. But I can almost guarantee you at the very beginning of the season, their coach, Frank Vogel, he probably lays out this vision. Here's the team that we're going to be. Here's what we're going to emphasize as a team. This is clarity. This is super important. And do you think he just says it one other time during the season? Guys, here's the vision. I'm going to just tell you one time. That's it. You should just get it by now, right? No. What's he do? Shares the vision with clarity, reinforces it with drills and practices throughout the season. Why? Because people forget. People choose, players choose to go their own way. And he, as a coach, with the vision and the clarity, will continually have to remind them time and time again, here's what I'm looking for. Here's what's going to make us successful. Some of you might recognize this tool. It's a sports tool. Two sports analogies in one message. I don't know, right? Is it two? I think it's two. Sometimes it's more. But here, this is a T. You guys recognize this? And some of you might look at it and think, well, that, you know, I remember when I was a little kid, I used to hit off one of those things. Or maybe as a parent or a grandparent, you're like, yeah, I remember that, those days, those T-ball days. And you would say that's probably one of the most basic tools of all of baseball. And that's for little kids, for sons or for daughters who are just starting off and they can't hit coach pitching yet. Right. And they certainly can't hit off kid pitching. That's this. So they have a T. But can I tell you something? This is one of the most fundamental tools in all of baseball. That yes, absolutely. When you're 5, 4.5, sometimes 3, maybe you're younger and you're my son. I started you when you're 2, right? You start hitting off a T. And you're learning, you're just learning those things. But can I tell you this? If you were to go to a Major League Baseball team, even today, they carry these things with them. Now, this is pretty rudimentary, but they still use tees. Mike Trout still uses a tee. Why? Because he's just basic? No. Because there's something about a tee that reinforces your swing, what? Over and over and over again. It reminds you of what your swing should look like. Right? That you just keep going, thousands of balls hit, thousands upon thousands. And then you go out into the baseball field and the guy's pitching live balls at you and your swing, it should be the exact same way it was off the tee. Right? And you're thinking, hey, maybe this is a beginner thing. No. It's for repetition and for reminder. And when you go out and face live pitching, sometimes your swing gets off and you know what you do? You go back to the basic. You go back to the tee again, and you go back in that room, and you just hit thousands upon thousands of balls to help your swing get back to what it needs to be. It's a reminder. It's the same as the coach that says, listen, I'm going to keep giving you the drills that will help you to be clear on what our objective is as a season. This is the thing that reminds me of what my swing should be like, even if 5-year-olds are using it, even if it's basic. And the same thing is true with us. There's times when we hear the word taught and we're like, oh, I've heard that before. But the reality is that word is living and active. And there are times when we just go back to basics and we remember who we are in Him. We need to be reminded on a continual basis. And we should never, ever grow tired of listening to the word of God be taught and taking it and putting it upon our hearts so that, like the picture in my hallway, we are reminded of who we are and who God is. That we always go back to who He is and who I am. Listen, there's a time when Paul is writing to the Romans. And he says this, I've written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again. Paul then writes a letter to the church at Philippi. And he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He says, to write the same things again is no trouble to me. And it is a safeguard for you. Paul even repeated himself. People could have been like, hey, Peter, can you keep saying the same thing? Yeah, I know, because you need to get that swing down. You need to get back into that groove. I need to stir you up. Remember the basics. Keep seeking the Lord. And look at verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease, after I'm gone. What's he going to do? I think he does two things. Number one, he lived a legacy. He lived out his life as a way that the people could look at his life and think, that was a man of God. That his life was a reminder of what he believed about eternity and what he believed about Jesus. The other thing he did, I mean, sort of a big deal. He, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote letters to these people. And we have those letters today. He's like, my life is going to be a legacy. And these things that I'm reminding you with in these letters, they're going to last throughout the span of time. 2020 years later, we're reading a letter from Peter to his people. And we're being reminded, we're being stirred up. Some of us maybe who fall into the bottom of the jar and being like, I need to get back up and start walking again. I need to be stirred up again. I think this is a powerful moment for him to say, listen, I'm leaving a legacy. I'm going to die, but I'm leaving a legacy. And I would ask you this question. What sort of legacy are you leaving for your kids, your grandkids, your roommate, your coworkers? What are you leaving behind? When you leave that workplace one day, when you're no longer there, would they say, listen, that was awesome. That guy, that lady, I don't know a whole lot of Christians, but if that's what a Christian is, that, wow. They really left behind a legacy of someone who honored Christ in their life. Would your kids say that? Would your kids say, yeah, man, maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm not walking with the Lord right now, but my dad or my mom, they really honored the Lord in their life. Grandparents. They really honored the Lord in their life. They left behind a reminder, man, a fresh, vibrant reminder of what it is to walk with the Lord. I would just say, that's what Peter's saying. I'm leaving behind this reminder so that you will walk and not forget, and you will not stumble, that you will have a fruitful life, and that you will gather together one day in eternity. What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? Are we leaving behind? What are your daily and weekly reminders? Last thing. I love these things. I live with these things all the time, right? Do you know what these are? It's all the way in the back. Post-it notes. I love post-it notes. And here's the thing. You put post-it notes in high leverage positions in your house, in your car, on the refrigerator, right? On the mirror. Before you go to work, you look at that post-it note. I have a line of them at times on my desk, right? At work, do this, do this, do this, do this, right? You put them on your dashboard of your car. Why? So you will not forget. So you won't forget this most important thing that your wife told you that you need to do, right? That you will not forget. Let me ask you this. In your life, knowing what we've just talked about this morning, God said, listen, I'm going to give my people a reminder. Jeff needs a reminder in his house of these precious people in his life, right? And seeing Jesus, this huge event that happened, he's like, I'm going to die on the cross for them. They're going to need a reminder that they're going to need to do on a regular basis to be reminded, knowing that. Let me ask you this. Where are the reminders in your life to pause and to spend time with the Lord? Now, I absolutely believe that Sunday mornings are a great reminder. We gather together. We're taught the Word of God. We worship Him together. We spend time sharpening each other. But if Sunday mornings is the only reminder that I have, that may not be enough. It's not enough. I'll just say it. All right, I did it. I said it. It's not enough because I'm a forgetful person. I'm going to get in my car and go about my day. I need reminders in my life because I'm human. That there are times in my day that I need to stop and pause. And I need to remind myself of who I am, who God is, and what He's called me to. And so let me encourage you with this. Find ways throughout your day to set reminders up for yourself. Sometimes some of you have a morning devotion time. Awesome. Great reminder. Some of you listen to worship on the way to work. Great reminder. Some of you have the evening devotion time. The great reminder. Some of you take your lunch breaks and you study with maybe some coworkers, or you just study. Those are reminders. And I would just say all of us, because we're human, not because some of us are more spiritual or less, just because we're human, that we need to stop and take the Lord in and say, God, would you just remind me of who I am and who you are and what my calling is in your life? That's exactly what Peter is saying. Till my dying day, as a pastor, as someone who loves the people, I will continue to remind you over and over and over again. Amen. I'm going to call the worship team and Let's pray. God, I believe this, that there are people here this morning sitting in this heat, and they needed to be stirred. Lord, they needed to be reminded. And Lord, I pray that you'd move them into action, into this place of saying, I'm not going to just let this message sit dormant. I'm going to use it, and I'm going to start moving forward. I'm going to have set up some signposts or some post-it notes or some reminders that I just need to spend time with you. I need to be reminded of who I am and who you are and what the call is on my life as a dad or as a grandpa or as a mom or as a grandma or as a roommate or as a classmate. I need to be reminded of my call when I walk back into school again. Well, who am I? And Lord, I pray that you just solidify that in us, that we'd be diligent to be active in our faith and being reminded about who you are. Here's the other thing. You are graceful and you are merciful. God, I imagine there's people who maybe feel like, man, that's not me. I haven't done that for so long. But Lord, this is the truth. You are graceful and you are merciful. And I believe this morning you would call some people to start walking again, to be stirred up, to get off the bottom of that jar and be stirred up into the mix and start walking with you again. God, would you do that in this place this morning? God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.